So let's pray. Father, we love you. I thank you again for the opportunity, God. You know I appreciate it. I submit to you, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. I hate the devil. Thank you that I can. I hate sin. Thank you that I can. But I love you, God. I love your power and mercy and grace, God. Your deliverance, your healing, your righteousness, your holiness, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God. I love you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, Holy Ghost. Gracious God, in the name of Jesus, mercy, Holy One. Your demon forces, the Lord Jesus Christ, rebuke you. Mercy, Holy Ghost. Legions of God, come forth to minister for us, God. In Jesus' name. I'd like for you, if you would, please turn to Mayhew. Is that how y'all say that? Probably not. I got my Tic Tacs out. I'm ready. Nahum chapter 1. This is walking with God. You see, the dead are still raised. Since I've seen you, there's been a few dead raisings every month at our work. Since I've seen you in December, there have been lame walking, blinded eyes open, deaf ears open, mutes talking. Since I've seen you. What have you done since I've seen you? Now, I don't mean that in the wrong way. I'm not a judge. I'm not here for that. I'm here to encourage it and to light up the fire, throw gas on it more. But our walk with God is a continual thing. It's a progression, and it's always growing. And when things begin to happen with God around you, you should be able to continue those things. If we're submitted to God and He's allowed the gifts of God to flow in our lives, it's His mercy and sovereign hand that does it in the first place. Okay, so if we're still fasting and praying and seeking God and meditating and reading our Bibles and having fellowship with one another and encouraging and rebuking each other, then it'll continue, plus we'll grow. I don't believe in stagnation, personally. You come up here and turn that page. Nahum 1, 2, verse 2. God is jealous. Have y'all ever seen a jealous husband? I'm jealous. Have a right to be. I got the most beautiful wife in the world. God is jealous over us to protect us, to love us, to care for us, to make sure we're loving Him. He demands our love, doesn't He? If you're going to be a Christian, you don't have an option to love Jesus. The Lord revengeth. Brother Jerry and Brother Steve were down there working March, and all of a sudden there's a little excitement around us, and some of the Indians come scurrying in, talking to me, and next thing you know, I got them in the thing, and boom, we gone in the van. What's going on is we got an act of terrorism around us. We got movement of the Reds, and one of the young men that are here tonight was going to pick up some people. He saw them himself and come and reported it to me. Did we close the meetings out because they came around us? Did we run with the women and children We stayed and worshiped Jesus. We've lost 10 national pastors and one American missionary to this thinking, to martyrdom. God's our revenger. He'll avenge us. We've got to walk with Him. No matter what's going on around us, He's jealous over me. He loves me. And it's possible I might lose my life to what I believe. But that don't mean He didn't stop loving me. That don't mean He quit loving me and quit being jealous over me. That don't mean He quit being my avenger. I've got to keep walking with Jesus. He reserves wrath. I don't know how y'all believe. I hadn't taken the time to find out. But the wrath of God is not for me. It's not for my family. It's not for my work. It's for the enemies of my God. Verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger, great in power, will not at all acquit the wicked. You can be very free. Let your enemies go, man. Let them go. If somebody hates your guts for loving Jesus and being free, don't you hate them back. Let them go. If somebody's treating you wickedly, it don't matter how old you are, young people. No matter how young you are, old people. God will not let them go. They can't hide from Him. They can't escape what they bit off. Walk with Jesus. Listen to this. Because last part of last year, I had a lightning bolt fall out of the sky and blow the top off my house. First question people ask me, what'd you do to make God mad? Nothing. Blowed this antenna I had. You should have seen the million pieces. Those things are fairly strong, you know, them lightning bolts. Shook the whole house, rattled everybody, knocked down glasses and pictures and knocked me out of the chair. Scared me pretty bad. Because I was sitting there minding my own business, not bothering anybody, and the lightning bolt fell and it scared me pretty good. Listen. God's got His way in the whirlwind. God's got His way in the storm. God's got His way in the clouds. God's got His way on a clear day when a lightning bolt forms and hits your house. It was clear. Lightning bolt. Where'd it come from? You got to ask me that question? Come from the devil. God rebukes the sea. God makes it dry. God dried up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth. Carmel, the flowers of Lebanon, languisheth. The mountains quake at His presence. The hills melt when He comes out. The earth is burned at His presence. Do you hear who I'm describing to you? And this awesome power that just when He shows up, mountains melt at His presence, and He wants to be my friend. He loves me. You mean He really does? I can walk with that force and with that power that's so great. You mean I can? Yes, I can. If I can, I win. If he owns all of that stuff, and even though I have the demons come after me and it gets all over me and messes with me a lot, but God still is in control, and he loves me and he's jealous over me, what's my worry? Verse 6, who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire. The rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord, oh boy, the Lord is good. I'm walking with a good God. I'm not walking with somebody that hates me. I'm not walking with somebody that controls me so much that if I'm gonna be a real human like I really am, and he's not gonna just reach over and fuck me, quit being a human goofball. He's not gonna do it. He's a good God. I'm a good daddy. I let my kids play. As long as they're in the confines of my rules, they never have trouble. All they have is my total power and protection. The Lord is good. The Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. This tells me that trouble will inevitably find me. I'm going to need God. There's going to be trouble. I'm going to need a stronghold. And guess what else about him? He knows them that trust in him. You know, I don't know that. In this room right here, I have no idea, really, how many of us really trust God. I don't know that. I don't know that. You can go in any church and fool people, except for the Holy Ghost. You can't fool. With overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. Look at verse 9. This is my first question for us tonight. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. I'll tell you, it really scares me sometimes. I get around people and fear grips my heart, really, really grips my heart. When people are so brash and bold with God against other humans, that bothers me inside. Because our job is to worship Jesus. Our job is to walk with God. It's God's job to recompense. It's God's job to be the avenger. I have people come up to me quite often. They don't like me. With a suit on and a smile. Until they get right face to face with me, and then they manifest. They're taking God's job of avenger. What is the deal? Where do we come off with this thinking we're somebody when everything we've had to touch us has been mercy and grace? What in the world is going on? Listen to me. Our job is to walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus.
I got something written down here. God's a jealous God. And we have the audacity, nerve, to stand up and look at him and tell him things occasionally. He is my friend. I can talk to him. When I am perplexed or I'm in trouble, I'll go to him and I'll look at God and I'll say, my goodness, Lord Jesus, wow, what's happening here? He already knew it before I asked. He already knows what's going to happen before I'm through talking. He already knew it. But I don't know it. And part of my friendship with God the Father is I can go to him and I can receive from him and I can listen and I can be rebuked and helped and corrected. But part of my walk with God is not imagining something. What does God mean? What is he doing? What's going on here? That's what you do against the devil. You know, I know this to be a fact that lots of times we as people, humans, we say, thus saith the Lord. We prophesy. We give a word. You know what it is? It's lust of the flesh. That's what it is. Some particular person has irritated us, so we'll just tell them, thus saith the Lord. It's not God, it's your emotions talking. And you call yourself a prophet. I rebuke you. God's word never falls to the ground. And when a person's walking with God, God upholds that person. He's jealous over that person. He cares for that person. Did you hear me? And when the enemy comes after me, he better watch out. He has absolutely no understanding of what he just done. It's not because of what I'm going to do. It's because of what my caretaker, my friend, my father, my savior, my redeemer is going to do with him. Lots of times we talk and say it's God, and it's absolutely for our convenience sake we are talking. Whether politically, whether physically with money or whatever reason, whether relationships, it's convenience is what it is. That's why whenever I go all over the United States now and I'm walking around and people come running up to me, Brother Hogan, I got a word for you. I'll sit there, fold my hands and shut up and listen. But I give them no reaction. And I'll go in and write that thing down. And then I wait on the Holy Ghost to confirm it with either me or somebody else. Because he loves me. If he's trying to get me to do something, he'll tell me so I'll know it's him. I'm walking with Jesus. He loves me. He died for me, I tell you. He never asked me to do something that's goofy. It's going to be confirmed many times supernaturally by the Holy Ghost. I was in a small church here a couple of months ago, and this woman comes up to me trembling. Trembling, I tell you. Folded my hands because I knew all was going to happen. And just listen. Got back to my room, I wrote it down. I ain't told anybody. Because she said, thus saith the Lord. I don't have to go and coax somebody into telling me something if God's speaking to me. I'm walking with the Holy Ghost. He's in every fiber of me. He's in every fiber of this podium. He's in every... The air is electrified with the Holy Ghost in here. He's got my address. I'm not at all taken away from prophets and gifts. That's not what I'm telling you here. Please don't receive it like that. But I'm telling you to watch how you're giving words, because people's walk with the Lord is being damaged by other people. because they're doing it for convenience sake or for selfish reasons. Now hold this down here. Or for their own self-gratification in some area. Phone rings again. I'm in another state. 900 and something miles from where I had written down the first word. Phone rings. Soup. It's South Mexico. Another 2,000 miles. Exactly the same word starts coming off that phone. I'm writing. I ain't saying nothing. What do you think of that? I don't. I'll let you know in the next meeting. God bless you. Bye. We can walk with Jesus. He can talk to us. He can tell us what to do. I've got friends and people I can talk to about what my next moves are in ministry and things I'm going to do. And man, they'll tell me, but I ultimately have to make the move with God because I'm walking with God. I can't base my walk with God on what you're doing. I got to base it on what God's told me to do out of His Word. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8, will you, real quick. We're going to be doing some hopping. Hopefully you know your Bible. We're going to learn a little bit here. This is going to be sort of a different kind of a thing than y'all was used to the first round. But I saw Brother Steve over in Kansas City a while back. I told him, I think I got something from God. He said, good. That's all he said. That's all I expected. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. What had just happened? The flood. That's what. Everything was destroyed. Verse 21. The Lord smelled a sweet savor. The Lord said in His heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Now then, that's telling me I'm free of it, buddy. If I can believe God, if I can trust Him, and if I can take His Word and understand what my provisions are, I can take that statement where God is sitting there looking and Noah's down here giving up these sacrifices and worshiping God, and God loves that. He loves us walking with Him. He said, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Do you know I have to teach every one of my kids and everybody I'm around that's young, I have to teach them not to be a devil? I'm serious. I'm not knocking my kids, and they know this. They know you're born with the devil as your guide. It don't matter how holy the parents, son. You're a devil from birth. You have to be told. You have to be taught. You have to be exemplified. You have to be shown that you can't. You don't need to be a devil. You got to walk with God. Amen. Neither will I again smite any more. Every living thing. Everything living as I have done now. While the earth remains, because that means that tells me there's going to be an end. Seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day and night shall not cease. So listen, it don't make any difference what they're telling you on the news. There's not going to be an end to harvest time. It don't matter about the droughts and the plagues and everything else. It's going to be cycling out, and there will be harvest time again. We've got to learn to trust God and walk with Him. We've got to learn that we're free. That Jesus has made us free. Amen. To worship Him. Amen. And to be together and do something for Him. If y'all are any of y'all taking notes, I'd like for you to write this down. I'm not going to read this whole chapter. I almost did, but I decided not to. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Please read that. Let's go to James chapter 1.
James is in the New Testament. Verse 20. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God Almighty. James 1:20. Wherefore lay apart, lay aside, get rid of all filthiness, superfluity, of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Church, I don't know where we're headed. I don't know what's happening up here. Too much bouncing around taking place. God's wanting. I feel inside me there's a move coming. I feel inside me God's... There was something went through me not long ago. It was excitement. But there was life hit me not long ago. Filled me up. It's hard for me to explain, but I believe God's starting to put people together for a purpose of once again blasting this nation. But not just this nation, but the world. But he's got to use us. We got to learn to walk with him. We get bogged down in all kinds of naughty things. We think it's us for no more. It ain't. It's God and nobody else. It's mercy that lets everybody else in. Be a doer of the word. Look at that verse 22. Not hearers only, deceiving your own souls. Own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his face in a natural glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. 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 It's our job. Walking with God to be a worker. How many people you led to Jesus since I've seen you? In the last 7 months. How many people you laid hands on to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? How many offerings you give to people that are in need and bail them out? How much clothes, food, how many people have you gone to see in the jailhouse? How many people have you comforted with the powers of God? No, and the reason is why? Because you're selfish and egotistical and self-gratifiers. And I rebuke that. That is not what is in the walk of God. It's all right with God for you to be taken care of in your family. I do that. But it's God for us to work for Jesus. In the walk of God, we got to walk with Him. What did Jesus do in His walk when He was here? Sit home, build Him a bigger house, get a better dress. He had a dress. But He went around doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse 28. Does y'all's Bible say that stuff? I'm not making this up. I'm talking about let's walk with Jesus. Man, you want me to come in here and y'all are looking for miracles. So am I, honey. But you're going to get up and get some too. As a missionary, I want to confess something to you that makes me real mad at you. Okay? Is that all right? To be honest, is it okay to be honest? I come up here. I'm doing the same thing I've always done for the last 15 or 20, 16 years. Is it really? Seriously, going for it, boy. And if I don't produce a story that's wild, that's awesome, that's emotionally going to get you going, you Americans are going to quit supporting me. What if God treated you like you treat me? How would you feel? Think of that one, boy. You want to hear the dynamic and the powerful. All I am is a worker bee, man, like you. I'm serious. I have an office and things to do, and I got to fulfill that. But my day-to-day walk with God involves ministry of Jesus. Amen. Just like yours is supposed to. Come on, let's walk with God. He wants to help this state. Doers of the Word. Let's go over here at Proverbs. Let me do a little bit of meddling. Is that all right? In Proverbs, we can do lots of meddling. Is this okay so far? I think this is God for us. Some of you ain't going to think it's okay. Y'all can leave. I want yes men here. No, I'm kidding. I was kidding. Proverbs 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. And I want to know if y'all's Bible reads like mine does, if you don't mind telling me. Only by pride comes contention. Does y'all's Bible say that? Well, that tells us a lot about how we are then, don't it? If a person's trying to work out a problem, is it trying to work it out and another person just won't do it? You know what? You got the devil of pride in you, son. God wants us to work out difficulties. And if you got to show your temper and high and mighty attitude and better than me, you're showing me one thing. You're full of pride. And that has not to do with the walk of God. There is a pride in God and in being holy and righteous, but it's not a demonic pride of division and contention and strife. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well advised, what is there? There's wisdom. When I took the pastors out of that little conference we had down in Mexico, some of the guys figured it out what was going on. It was raining and stuff, and I told them, you know, what's going out and all this. I left all of my men in there. All of them. My son and all of Miss Kim's children were in there. And there was terrorism moving around in them hills. I moved these guys out. I'm well advised. I'm walking in wisdom. I'm well advised leaving them in there because that's our job to do for the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? You sitting up here in this nice air conditioner, it's easy to tell me what to do. Well, like I say, I ain't never seen you down there with me before. I never run into you down there in them hills fighting with them demons. So let's talk about it from my angle, okay? I know what I'm saying here. You say, wow, that's prideful. That is not prideful. None of them guys got hurt, did they? No. None of my guys got hurt either. And we stayed. I want to show you something in Psalms 55. Let's go over there. See which way is Psalms. Psalms 55. And if you will, please, jot down that chapter, Psalms 55, to read this and study it slowly, the whole chapter. I ain't got time to go do that whole thing with y'all either. I sure started to on these things. Did y'all hear about that miracle we had up in Minnesota? Tell them, Brother David. Go ahead. Don't be bashful. Tell them. Incurable eye disease of some sort. I don't know what it is. He can tell you all about it. God healed him. Wow, that's good, isn't it? That don't come by pride. I was over in Colorado Springs. And some of y'all know how much I love my family. We was in a big old church. several thousand people, 3,000 or 4,000, maybe 5,000, something. I don't know. And this man comes up in the crowd for prayer, and, you know, I'm praying for everybody, and I got tired. Man, there's a couple thousand people to pray for. That's a long night. So I call my kids up. Come up here, kids. No, not right now. Well, and I said to, you know, here they are up there in little Joy. She's praying for people, and Crystal, my little daughter's praying, and Jody, my son's praying, and boy, we're praying for people. I'm telling them who to pray for. You pray for that one, you pray for that one, you know. We'll pray, come back, you pray for that one. We're knocking them out now, 4 or 5 at a time. We was going somewhere. Well, this man, I told my daughter Crystal, I said, Crystal, go there and pray for that man. I had no idea that he was not saved. I didn't know he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. I had no idea he was scheduled for open heart surgery. Neither did she. She's obeying Daddy. She touches him. When she touched him, friend Jesus slapped him. The fire of God came on him, hurting him. He was burning inside. Drove him to the floor. People come, drug him off. Set him in a chair. He's on fire. He's hurting. He can't walk. They had to tow him to the car. Still on fire. He was hurting real bad. Next morning, the fire was not gone yet. Brought him to the doctor. Checked him in the hospital. Put all these tests on him for 2 or 3 days. Doctor comes in there and says, I can't find anything wrong with you. What'd you do? He said, I didn't do nothing. All I did was went to this church and somebody touched me real lightly and I was slapped down and fire coming here and that's all I did. The doctor said, what was it? He said, I don't know. Isn't that something? I like that, don't you? A couple of days after all the tests were completed and he was a healthy human being, he went back to the church, to that altar, and there was people there, and they introduced him to the man, Jesus, that healed his body. He got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about walking with God here. I'm talking about it's not a convenient thing for me to drag my family all over the world continually in the road and in hotels and moving and doing school on the run, and that's not convenient for me, but it's convenient for God. It's walk with God. Everybody don't have to do that, but all of us have to be doers of the word, and we have to walk out of pride and into wisdom. We have to leave contention and walk into being well advised. Walk with God. The walk with God. The walk with God. Have we done Psalm 55 yet? Or are y'all just sitting there waiting on me to do something? Okay, let's do it. I need you to study this whole chapter, please. But I want us to jump over here to verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God. The Lord shall save me. You understand that? I'm on an airplane not long ago. I had a bad feeling about it. I told my wife, I don't want to go, Miss Hogan. Because I had already been gone 1 month without her, and me and my son traveled all over, and I don't like that. That don't feel good to me. And I'd only been with her for about 6 days, and here I am having to go on another run. I was thinking that's what it was my own melancholy, my own selfish, my own emotion. That's what I was thinking. I told her, I said, but hopefully that's not what I'm feeling, so let's pray about this. Told Miss Keel, man, I don't feel good about this trip. Of course, Miss Hogan's answer to me always is this: do you have a round trip ticket?
And I always say, yes, well, go then. And do it for Jesus. And represent Jesus the best you can. Represent the ministry the best you can. And represent our family the best you can. I like that. That feels good. It didn't help me none, but it still feels good. Got on that plane, I mean uneasy. It's all over me. I guess I might have looked fairly mad or something because everybody was going around me. But I was uneasy. Weather's fine in Monroe, Louisiana. I'm on my way to Dallas, then up to Colorado Springs and Salt Lake City, Utah. I mean, it's... weather's fine. Got about somewhere over Tyler, Texas, about, I don't know, 30 minutes outside of Dallas in a jet, and captain comes on there and says, we're going to have to do a holding pattern here over Tyler, Texas. Said, there's some heavy, severe thunderstorms over Dallas, and they're not letting us in. And all of a sudden, I knew where the uneasiness was. After a while, they let us go. I'm praying in tongues. Shala, ka, te, le, se, ka, ta, ta. You devil, I rebuke you. You might swat this plane, but my God's in the whirlwind. My God's in the storm. You can bounce this plane, but you can't win. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. After a while, the pilot says, hang on, it's going to be a little bumpy, folks. That was an understatement. I felt like a ping pong ball and hitting them paddles back and forth. Oh, boy, that was rough. Got down there and I took off running for my next plane because it made us about 40 minutes late. And wouldn't you know they'd be holding the plane for us? I'd have rather missed that one and waited for another one. Got on that thing and that pilot said, hang on, folks. I said, oh, God. Same thing, back and forth like a ping pong ball, up and down, round and round. But even though I felt bad inside, even though I was being knocked around like a ping pong ball, God's got His hand in the storm for people that are walking with God. And if it is my time to go, I'm ready. Here I come, Jesus. Because I'm walking with you. But ain't no demon taking me. I'm going on the word of the Lord. Not on the word of the devil. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will save me. Evening and morning at noon will I pray. Now would you look at that next phrase. This is what people don't like about me, one of the things. Crying aloud. I am a loud crier. I will get in yonder and speak in tongues loud. I'll be walking down the airport screaming in tongues. I'll be in the McDonald's speaking in tongues. Loud, crying aloud in the morning. Calling on my friend, Father God, for mercy. Loving Father God. At noon I'll do it. At evening I'll do it. It don't matter who's around. It matters that I love Jesus. It says, He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Do you hear me? The battle was not delivered, but my soul was. Did you hear that? There's a walk with God. I want you to listen to me. When those things come after me, and they do, I just got a phone call at Brother Jerry's. My daddy just had a stroke. Oh, God, I love Him. No! We pray. We seek God. The next day, I get on the horn again. Mexico. Oh, God, the whole thing is tore up down there. Devils are flying everywhere. The whole place is ballistic. Storms, whirlwinds. Demonic forces are flying. God's in the storm. God's in the battle. And my soul can be at peace in the battle. Did you hear me? It's not one of these things where I don't care. Honey, I care. My body has been on the line thousands of times. I care. but I'm at peace in the battle. And those hurricanes out in the Gulf, I don't know if y'all know this, but in right in the smack dab middle of them things, there's sometimes up to a 20-mile eye, they call it. It's totally clear and absolute calm in that thing. But on either side, in all directions, there's total hell taking place. It may not go like I want it to, honey, but my peace is still with me because of Jesus. I have a walk with God that people fear. They look at me and they fear it. How can this be? Because my soul is at peace in the battle. That's why. Because I don't imagine something vain against my God. I don't allow the things and circumstances around me to dictate my emotional walk with God. I got a spiritual walk with God. My emotions have to wait. Verse 19, God shall hear and afflict them, that's the enemy, even he that abideth of old, Selah. I got some news for us. Our job is to worship Jesus. Our job is to walk with Jesus. Hey man, I have a ministry to run. There's millions of details. I got to do all that. That's my job. But the battle's raging. My job is to submit to the Holy Ghost. The God of old will sustain me. Selah. Now here's a phrase, I know this is for God, for y'all. You ready? Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Many people have change and it's not from God. Many people have change and it is from God. Our ministry went through a radical change last year. Woo! I didn't like it too much. It was the hand of God. So I've got to change because I fear God. So I change to walk with God. If I'm walking down the road, me and you are, and I like what I'm... Man, the dead are raised, shot I lie. This is good. I like the dead being raised. I like to walk in yonder and bow my knees down like this. Pick up old grandma dying with the collar and blood running everywhere. Pray for her in Jesus' name. Lay grandma down on the floor. Walk out. Come back next week and grandma's healed of the cholera. I like that. I like that. I enjoy that. Those pastors were down with us in March. We got to go into either one of y'all went with me. We went and prayed across the valley over there and prayed for some people that were for the cholera and all that. Did y'all go with me? I don't remember. Anyway, it don't matter if they went or not, does it? It don't matter if I go. It matters that Jesus is there. You go in this hut... And there she is. Guess who it is? The last time I was there, Brother Jerry was with me in December, I think it was. And there was a lady hung up in them rafters. Remember that? Having that baby? There she was. You should see that baby. That baby was in the birth canal, how many dozen? 14 or 16 hours. That baby was frozen, that birth canal. Just could not have that baby. And you know as well as I do, that baby's going to be deformed or something's going to happen to it. All them chemicals and acids start messing things up and messing around. And oh no, oh my. But guess what happens when the Holy Ghost is with you? In the heat of the battle, God's with us. Changes have got to take. You go in there, God said go right. I thank God I heard him say go right. The ministry was doing good going straight. And I went right. Some of the ministry kept going straight. with God. And when we went right with God, intensity took place. There's more miracles. There's more power. There's more of God taking place there. You got to walk with God walks. It ain't always pleasing to men. Because men don't like change. Women don't like change. God's the one doing the change. And we got changed back there last year because I went right and some of them went straight. That's all right. Hurt my feelings kind of bad, but my feelings don't run the ministry. God's Holy Ghost runs the ministry. We kept on walking with God, and now we're getting people raised from the... I'm talking about new missionaries. Just the other day, this is good. I guess it's been about a week and a half, 2 weeks now. Maybe it ain't been longer than this. Little babies, there's these young missionaries, they're brand new. They don't have any experience. They just thank God we're down here in these mountains with Brother Hogan. We're going to raise the dead. Yes! I like that kind of energy. That's the way I am. I like it. They go walking in there, and this one guy especially, he's brand new, hadn't even been on the field but a week or two. And he wanted to see a dead raisin so bad he could taste it. I want to see it! I want to see it! I said, hang out long enough, boy, you'll see it. My God, honey, don't be so emotional. Just let's walk this thing out. This is what I like about God. When God's doing a sovereign move, He does it regardless. When God says do it, it don't matter what's going on. It's going to come to pass. As long as you're obedient and walking with Him, whenever He says, have it, it's done. It don't matter about the storms. It don't matter about the hurricanes. It don't matter about the bullets. It don't matter about no witchcraft. It matters that He said, have it. Them boys got to that village and all of them were brand new missionaries. And this one guy lay walking there, and this lady had been sitting there holding this baby, crying for several hours already. Crying. Waiting on them to get there. Waiting on them to get there. Holding that baby, crying. It's cold and stiff. Does that tell you anything? She's holding that baby. Holding that baby. Holding that baby. The missionaries went there and laid their hands on her, and every one of them knew. Everybody asked me, well, God probably don't use certain people to raise the dead. No, He don't. God uses people that are walking with Him. God uses people that trust Him. God uses people that are looking for it. And they touched that baby, nothing happened. They all walked out of there, and they was crying and weeping, God have mercy, God have mercy. All of a sudden there's a... They run back in there. Brother Hogan wasn't here. God's there. God's there. The baby's healed. Isn't that nice? I like that. Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk with the Lord God. Look at this. 1 Samuel. I'm going to show you something real quick. Because we hadn't even got an hour going yet. I'm doing fine. Hey, man, I'm doing great. Got about one third of the scriptures done, but I'm doing fine. 1 Samuel, I want to look at a man here. And I want you to look at him in your own Bible, if you will. It's okay if I teach, isn't it? I mean, this is more of a teaching type deal here than my normal, you know, breathe fire, smoke stuff, you know. But I really want us to learn. We got to learn to walk with God. You people have more Bible in you We got to use it. Get up and use it. Amen. If it's all right with y'all, my daughter's going to sing tomorrow night. If it's okay, I mean, everything works out. I mean, I ain't putting no pressure on anybody. You hear me? But I... But I don't even know the name of the thing. She's going to sing it, though. She's being a singer. I just preach. I don't, you know. But it's about eating at the table. It's time to push away and go work in the field. You people need to use what the Holy Ghost has given you for souls. You are so blessed. I run into y'all's people all over the United States. Y'all are stable. Y'all are good people to me. You better get up and go to work for Jesus. You better get up and you better go to winning souls. That's where your fire is. It's in them new converts. I'm telling you, that's where it is. People ask me all the time, how come y'all have such a continual turnover of miracles? Because we have such a continual turnover of new converts. They're so easy to get them people healed. A person's been taught for 40 years the Bible, they're hard to get healed. Because it's hard for me to tell you something. You know it all already. That's how come I ain't trying to tell y'all nothing except move over, honey, or get run over. See, there was this old missionary. I think I can tell y'all this. There was this old missionary. Boy, that man would rip me up. He had the right to. I was so full of energy. I was a ball of energy. I still am pretty much. But I've got a lot more direction about it now. And then I was going off in every direction. And I kept telling him, old man, this is with respect. You hear me? You listen to me. Respectfully. There's this old song in the South. I don't know if y'all have it up here. You better be kind to the little dog on his way up, or he'll pass you on your way down, old man. That's what I used to tell that guy. That's scaring, see? But I wasn't after scaring nobody. I'm after doing something for Jesus. Do you hear me? Souls need us. And the only way we can get souls is by walking with Jesus. You can tell me all kind of Bible, but let me have your hand. Let's go to New York City ghettos. I just came back, you know. You can get on me with your high and mighty religion. Go ahead. Let me have your hand a minute. No, sit down. We can't go get on the airplane right now. What I mean is, I want you to go with me. You want to tell me how wrong I am? I'm too free. I'm too open. I'm too this. I'm too that. I'm too bold. I'm too courageous. I'm all kinds of tunes. Give me that hand a minute. Let's go to the ghetto. Them people need us. Forget your religion just for a minute and use that great power of the gifts of God that's been planted in you by the will and by the teaching of God. And let's get some people changed. Let's change somebody. Let's change them. I think it'd be all right to tell y'all. I don't know how y'all feel about it. Well, it doesn't matter really. I don't care too much really. But I was over there, and we have a work in New York City, and it's pretty nice work. I like it. We work down in the ghettos. We've been going 59 minutes. I bought this thing in Panama. I ain't throwing it away. Who said that? I know what you mean, though. Don't get offended. Is it all right if I lighten things up occasionally? So y'all can take this stuff? Yes, sir. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus.